Tallahassee. Welcome to another edition of What Matters Most to You. I'm your host, the one and only Vincent T. Edwards, better known as Mr. Speaker. If you'd like to join the show today, the call-in line is 850-671-1450. That's 850-671-1450. The topic of discussion today is leadership, and we'll also be talking about the Leadership Academy. My guest is Dr. Gabrielle K. Gabrielli. Welcome, Gabrielle.
Thank you very much, Vincent.
Like always, here on What Matters Most to You, we will start off with a prayer, and then I'll give you an inspirational verse, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ, I thank you once again for you are God. I thank you for showing yourself faithful in all situations. I thank you for keeping your word. Father, now I just ask that you continue to just lead and to guide and to direct me that I may do your will, that this show will continue to be a blessing in the lives of all who hear. God, I just thank you for my guest today. I ask that you continue to bless her and bless her richly in all of her endeavors. And now, Holy Spirit, be in this place as we discuss this vital topic of leadership. Let the listening audience benefit from this discussion today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The inspirational verse today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 3 and going down to verse 5. And it reads, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Want to let you know today that today's show is brought to you by the Knight Law Firm, representing Tallahassee and Florida for over 18 years, specializing in personal injury, criminal defense, family law, on the internet at www.thenightlawfirm.net. That's www.thenightlawfirm.net. You can give them a call at 850-513-3151. That's 850-513-3151. Let them know you heard about them here from Mr. Speaker on What Matters Most to You. That's the Knight Law Firm, the representation you need, the service you deserve. My guest, Dr. Gabrielle K. Gabrielli, is an award-winning author and consultant who is a leadership guru, John Maxwell certified coach, speaker, and trainer. She enjoys helping people and organizations clarify and achieve their goals. Leadership is a specialty, and she runs a leadership academy for the Tallahassee area professionals. And Gabrielle also recently started a nonprofit organization called Life Worth Leading. With that being said, welcome to the show, Dr. Gabrielle. What should I call you? Gabrielle?
Gabrielle.
Gabrielle.
Yes, thank you, Vincent. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's truly great to be here. Gabrielle, all of your colleagues, all of your friends, all of those who you associate with, if they were to describe you in three words, what would those three words be and why?
Oh, dear. That's a very good question. I would say the words are servant leader. That's two.
I need two more.
Empathetic. Compassionate.
Why?
I think that when you put yourself in other people's shoes, regardless of whose shoes those are, that it makes all the difference in the world in the way you lead and the way you attempt to positively impact other people's lives.
What makes you come alive? What's your passion?
My passion is helping people and organizations become better versions of themselves, help them get to that next level.
Why do you want to do that? I mean, don't people just want to be who they are?
Some people want to be who they are, and honestly, those are the people that are most difficult to do anything about. If you just want to be who you are, then you're not a true leader. True leaders are people who are constantly seeking improvement in themselves, in their organizations, in their families, in their lives. And those are the people that I enjoy working with the most.
The word leadership is a word that we hear very, very often from organizations, corporations, sports. I mean, especially in the realm of athletics. He's a leader, she's a leader on the field. You hear that word and it's just tossed around so much. What does it really mean, and what are the true characteristics or attributes of a leader?
So many people have different opinions about what a leader is. To me, a leader is somebody who positively influences other people. You'll hear people make arguments all the time about leaders through history that did not positively influence others. In my opinion, they were not leaders. Leader to me is somebody who anyone they touch benefits in some way. And so on the field, they're the people that inspire other people. At home, they make people feel valued and loved and appreciated and part of a family. At work, they make people feel valued and respected and appreciated, and they help them get to become better versions of themselves.
Who was or is potentially still, they may be still around, the leader that helped you develop your skills the most?
Well, this is an interesting question, because in my case, it's somebody very close to me, would be my father. He was in the Air Force for 28 years. I grew up in the military, and I watched the way he interacted with people, and I learned so much from him. And to this day, he is my biggest mentor. He's the person I go to when I have a challenge. He's the person I go to when I have something that I want to celebrate. And so I think his leadership has inspired me more than anyone.
You mentioned interaction with people. Can someone truly lead without having to really truly interact? And when I talk about interact, I'm talking about creating a bond and communicating with individuals, because in organizations, you have people who are in leadership positions mm-hmm. who don't interact at all.
Well, people in leadership positions are not necessarily leaders. In fact, they are often poor managers. So I do think that even when you're physically removed from your people, you can be a great leader. Unfortunately, there are people out there who think that their way is the only way. They think that people aren't the most valuable part of an organization and that they can be replaced. They don't connect with their people. They lead by ways that push people down, that don't enable them to be the best that they can be. And they're not leaders. They're just poor managers. And I see it all the time in organizations. They're toxic, quite frankly.
Well, how do those people survive within organizations?
So many, and I work with them frequently, so many are burnt out. They are fed up. Organizations are losing some of their best talent because they have not addressed this issue. They may have, you know, 40 managers, and 38 are exceptional, and it's those two that just have really high turnover in their units that are negatively impacting people. Why do people keep people like that on?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Why? When you see mm-hmm. the detrimental effect that it has on an organization, why are they able to? And I've seen it.
Yes.
They've stayed there for years and years, and no one does anything. I know I'm asking you to speculate or to give your opinion, but based on your research, your knowledge, your interaction with organizations, why?
I think a lot of it is fear. It's fear of confrontation. They've been able to get away with it for so long. And often they're passed around in an organization, especially large organizations. They're passed around and often promoted, which is just horrible. You're just reinforcing that negative behavior.
Yeah, there's a statement, and this is the on-air version. You mess up, you move up.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. That has just a bad vibe, negative impact on the organization.
It's completely toxic. It has a trickle-down effect. And really, when something like that happens, I blame the very top leaders in the organization. They're not holding people accountable.
Why is leadership itself very important and critical?
It is very important and critical because great leadership or poor leadership can make or break a home, an organization, a church, great leaders can get an organization to the next level. Great leaders can overcome adversity. People in leadership roles who have poor management skills, on the other hand, have the completely opposite effect. And it is absolutely toxic. And organizations fail because of such behaviors.
You're listening to What Matters Most to You. I'm Mr. Speaker. My guest today is Dr. Gabrielle Gabrielli, and we're talking about leadership and her Leadership Academy. Do you have to be in a leadership position in an organization
to lead? Some of the best leaders in this world are people who are co-workers that are not in positions of leadership per se, but they are leading their teams.
How are they doing that?
They are keeping a positive attitude, going above and beyond to help other people in the organization, being a face for the organization, ambassador for the organization in really positive ways, and they're helping other people be their best.
What are some things that prevent people from being great leaders?
Two things that I think hold people back the most are insecurities and fear. Insecurities are, to me, the root of all evil in this world. Insecurities are typically masked with very big egos. They're really not very big egos. They just mask it to make themselves appear better. People with insecurities tend to have behaviors that are very detrimental to an organization, such as bullying, such as micromanaging. And unfortunately, deep down, there is a hurt little boy or girl that thinks that by pushing others down and bringing themselves up, it's going to make things better. And it doesn't. On the flip side, fear. And often people who are victims of such behaviors have fear as something that holds them back. And fear can be something that stops somebody from being who they are capable of being.
What do you say to that individual that's working for a leader who is insecure, has all of those fears and, you know, does micromanaging? What do you say to that person that has to report to that person?
It really depends on where they are in their lives and how long they want to endure that kind of relationship. Often I suggest to them that they have a conversation with the individual. Often I suggest that they actually stroke that person's ego in some way to help them. People who are insecure need their ego stroked. And so part
of would that be considered in this day and age? Uh-huh. Kissing up,
no,
brown nosing.
No.
What's the difference between stroke and
always
ego?
Always finding something positive. There's always something positive in an individual. And so you could bring something to their attention. Maybe they accomplished something great recently. You could discuss that with them first and then get into the really hard part is those confrontational discussions where you're saying things that you know they don't want to hear. And it's the way that you say it and, you know, even saying something like, you know, I really love that your skills have benefited this organization, but I would like to use my skills more to help with your efforts. Is there anything I can be doing differently? Now, often those discussions bring out somebody who is willing to make changes, and often they're not. I tell people that are stuck in poor working relationships that if they've done everything they can, and things stay the same, they should leave. If it's an organization with a toxic culture, it's not going to change very easily.
How can someone improve their leadership skills?
They need to work constantly on themselves. Anyone who doesn't appreciate feedback, even constructive feedback, is basically stuck. And so how do you get unstuck? You ask for feedback. You work to be a better version of yourself. And I find that in the Leadership Academy, which is a 12-month program for professionals in the area, that's something where I've seen already great leaders become better leaders. And the reason why is that they're open to that feedback through mentoring and coaching and assessments and evaluation and learning. And it's just such a rewarding thing.
What's your favorite leadership quote?
Oh, I have so many, but I actually want to share one that I heard last night. And I was listening to a WFSU broadcast that was also on the air about Jackie Robinson. And I love Jackie Robinson and all he did, not just for baseball, but for the world. And he said, "A life is not important except in the impact it has on other lives." And so that's the quote I'll go with for today. There's so many great quotes.
What does that mean to you?
What it means to me is that we're all here for more than just ourselves. We're here to make a difference in this world, and whether we realize it or not. And it's our choice if we want that difference to be something positive. And I do.
You mentioned two other words that coincide with being a leader, coaching and mentoring. Mm. What's the difference?
Ah, good question. That's another one of those things where, depending on the organization, coaching typically in a workplace environment means something often bad. It's having those discussions about your performance and what you need to do, but that's not at all what I see it to be. To me, coaching is, much like on the athletic field, is really working on those things that need to be worked on most. And mentoring tends to be more of a supportive kind of environment. Coaching challenges you to be a better version of yourself. Mentoring is more of a supportive kind of, let me bounce some things off of you. What do you think? Hmm.
All of the leadership programs that are available, even here in our surrounding areas, what prompted you to start the Leadership Academy, and what is that all about?
It actually started as a dream about 13 years ago. I was in Leadership Tallahassee, and I loved the program and the exposure it gave me to the community. And boy, did I learn a lot of great things about Tallahassee. But I was surprised there wasn't actually leadership curriculum. So I went to the leaders at the Leadership Tallahassee, and I asked them, "Hey, is there any way, I've been teaching leadership for years, is there any way I can help and infuse that into the curriculum?" And they said, it's beyond our role, honestly, it's out of our scope. And so I thought, gosh, there's a need for this. And then I started working with organizations, and I still do work with organizations frequently, where I go in for a short period of time. Maybe I do a series of 3 to 6 workshops, but I love bringing people together with diverse backgrounds and skills and experience levels. And it's essentially a group coaching environment, bringing them together and helping them become a better version of who they are.
When you mentioned to Leadership Tallahassee the concept of infusing leadership curriculum, but they didn't want to do it, but you did that in the academy. What exactly is your curriculum? What are some topics? What are some of the things that are discussed in your leadership academy?
They range from topics like emotional intelligence to critical thinking skills to hiring and retaining excellent employees, holding people accountable, delegation, all the things that I see are lacking in organizations. And not that people in the academy are lacking. By all means, they're not. In fact, I've rejected people who have applied because they didn't seem to understand that they have to be open to feedback and they have to want to take it to the next level.
Describe the process for entering into the Leadership Academy, and then where can my listening audience go to find out more about it?
They can go to GabrielleConsulting.com or TallahasseeLeadership.com, and there they'll find a lot of information about the 12-month program. We actually have some early sign-up bonuses right now that are good through April 20th, and we're already getting applicants, which is fantastic. And they'll
repeat those websites again, please.
GabrielleConsulting.com. So that's GABRIELLE consulting, CONSULTING.com. So it's GabrielleConsulting.com. And then TallahasseeLeadership.com. either of those websites will take you to a lot of information about what the Academy is. You'll get to see the current schedule and the curriculum, and it's very robust and comprehensive, the program.
Give us a quick overview of the structure, because I heard 12 months, that's a long time.
Yeah, it does sound like a long time, but it's a half-day commitment every month, And then in addition, you have mentoring and coaching. You're assigned a mentor and a mentee, but it's a combination of mentoring and coaching. And then what you're expected to do is, regardless of your environment, take what you learned in that month and apply it in your environment.
So I know you do this in your own leadership academy, but can an organization hire you to come in to do this specific session for them? And if so, do you have... limits on class sizes?
I do have limits on class sizes. I don't feel that having a large class size is most beneficial to people interacting in an honest and open way. I do go to organizations a lot, and I teach for them. And it really depends on the organization, how much of an investment they want to make of time for their people. But the best organizations that I've worked with are the ones that are really open to taking things to the next level.
And when you come into an organization, do you typically start with senior level managers or frontline individuals?
I personally like to do a needs assessment first and then start at the top. I have been asked to come into organizations and start with the frontline people, and a lot of times what that says to me is that they think that the frontline people are the ones that need to work on themselves most. And in actuality, from my experience in working with organizations, it's usually people in higher positions of leadership that really need to take a closer look at themselves. And when you involve everybody in the effort, it becomes more of a team.
Wow. You're listening to What Matters Most to You. My guest is Dr. Gabrielle Gabrielli. We're talking about leadership in the Leadership Academy. And today's show is brought to you by the Knight Law Firm. Why do people seem to be busy? So busy, but not a lot is getting really accomplished. I liken it to, we are so well connected from a technology standpoint, from smartphones to smart watches to social media, but we're really not connecting at the human level.
So true. As far as technology goes, it can be a blessing and it can be a curse. You need to manage the time that you spend with technology. And certainly when you're having a conversation with somebody, technology needs to go away. If you're having a face-to-face conversation, put the technology away and focus on the conversation. I think that we thrive on busy in this culture because in some way it seems to be saying that I'm important, that I'm busy, I need to, you know, constantly be doing things, I'm needed. But in actuality, one of the things that I found that anyone can do in their jobs is take a lunch break. Take your lunch break. I work with people all the time. They work through lunch at their desk. And it's a fact that it makes you less productive throughout the day. It drains your energy. And so you end up spending more time on tasks.
But we've got to get it done. Today we're having a working lunch. I'm going to order pizza. I'm going to bring in subs. Mm-hmm. We have a working lunch. We're going to do that.
Well, there's a time and a place where that's needed, but not every day. And I think that one of the things that I see a lot from really great people who have the potential to be excellent leaders is a failure to delegate. They think if they do it themselves that it's going to get done right. And the fact is that if they equipped somebody to do it, it would not only help them, but it would help the person that they equipped to grow with their skills as well.
Yeah. One of the things, courses that everybody likes to take is time management. You know, gotta manage my time. What are some strategies that people can use to help them? And what I like to say is manage the things and the time they have allotted rather than time management.
Yeah, to me, time management is an oxymoron. It's really priority management. And let me just throw something out there. People are so busy that they will say, this is really important to me, but I don't have time for it. What you're saying is it's not a priority. People go home and they bring their work home with them and they say to the people who matter most to them, I don't have time for you. And what you're saying is you are not a priority. People need to purge things from their schedules that don't matter to them, that don't add value to their lives. And they need to tackle the worst first in terms of what tasks they have on their plate.
Wow. Nonprofit organizations, there are many. What made you start your own? And give us a quick overview.
Well, my heart has been in the nonprofit world for decades, and I basically saw a need. And part of it is that I feel like people live their lives, but they don't lead their lives. And this is helping people get to the next level. It's working with veterans and people with disabilities primarily to help them get some sense of freedom and to help them get to that next level. And part of it actually involves scuba diving. So that's a whole other story.
Wow. And that's called Life Worth Leading. Mm-hmm. And can that information be found at your website as well?
Yes, it's lifeworthleading.org.
All right. Well, time is quickly come to an end. The title of this show is What Matters Most to You, my friend, Dr. Gabrielle. What matters most to you?
Family, faith, friends, and the desire to make a positive difference in the world.
Wow. That is wonderful. Give that website once again for my listening audience.
GabrielleConsulting.com is where you can find just about anything you need. Yes.
All right. Thank you so very much for being a great and wonderful guest here on What Matters Most to You. I wish you all the best and many blessings in all of your endeavors.
Likewise. Thank you.
You're welcome. You've been listening to What Matters Most to You. I'm your host, the one and only Vincent T. Edwards, better known as Mr. Speaker. Remember, in all that you do, be magnificent. Until next time, be good, be blessed, but most of all, be a blessing to someone.